Welcome to Doctor's Orders with your host, Dr. Baker. Now let's join today's program.
Hello, everybody. Happy Worldwide Wednesday. I am your host, Dr. Baker, of the only business hospital in the world servicing 14 different countries. And as you guys know, I only wake up from a work standpoint to make sure that businesses are healthy. And we do that in a host of ways. And one of those ways is having this show, Doctor's Orders, where we come on and we talk about very relevant realities in the business world. We look at different methods of business and different components of business. Sometimes you may be thinking about some of these aspects yourself and trying to navigate them on your own. Sometimes you may have had issues, and my job is to come in and make these things a little easier for you, make them lighter for you, so therefore you can be more sustainable and then reach all the goals that you have for the long term. If you want to join today's conversation, which we have a really good one with our guest, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, but you can at 859-291-2255. Once again, our call-in number is 859-291-2255. If you want to send me a message directly, you can do so at info@drbaker.us. Once again, that's info@drbaker.us. And if you've been listening to the show for any amount of time, you know that every day is a different topic. And since we're covering worldwide events, you know, we always bring in someone that has a perspective of worldwide opportunity in business. And so today's guest, who's going to be with us for the duration of the show, Mr. Larry Hart, that I'll bring on here in a moment, is no stranger to that. And if you've been listening before, you've heard him talk about his experiences and working globally. And so we'll bring a lot of that experience back to the forefront to you listeners. But one of the reasons why I selected Worldwide Wednesday as a topic is because the emergence of technology, how we communicate, the innovations that have now been put toward us, it allows us to work in a different way. It allows us to shrink the world and find out that even though the world is a large place, it's actually much smaller than we anticipated, and there's opportunities out there to grow your business beyond the scope of what you might think is already available to you. We want you to take advantage of it. We don't want you to be afraid of it, but we also want you to be knowledgeable. We want you to hear stories of successful, you know, tasks and opportunities and business that's transpired and taking place overseas. So maybe based on your business model, based on your service, based on your product offering, you might want to engage in overseas work and international business and global affairs, and therefore we can grow your business out. You know, you've got some friends of mine that are overseas right now, and as I'm looking at where they are in Greece, you know, there's so many products over there that are born here in the United States of America. You know, everything from Lucky Charm cereal to Shell gas station to even, you know, outfits that are worn. You know, you look and you say, heck, you know, our products have made it overseas. Our concepts have made it overseas. And if you're looking to expand your business, there might be some emerging markets that allow you to participate in those ways. So without further ado, I want to bring in Larry Hart. He is the Regional Executive Director of the Global Chamber of Commerce, and he's a multiple-time guest. Larry, thanks a lot for joining the show. How you doing?
Yes, sir. I'm doing great. Excited to be here. Thank you.
Well, good news. And, you know, just to remind all of our listeners out there, maybe we have new members of the audience, walk them through the Global Chamber, what it is and what you do for the chamber, so therefore no one's lost in the discussion.
Yeah, thank you. So I think you set it up nicely by saying, you know, the world's a big place, but we can make it very small through these conversations and connections and technology, et cetera, so that if you want to sell your products elsewhere, we can help you do that. And really what we do best, maybe is better as well or better than anybody, is help people make key connections. And those introductions come through our vast network of 500 or so different areas where the Global Chamber has a presence. And when a company, often we're referred into the Global Chamber, they're referred in through their local Chamber of Commerce, because we partner and work collaboratively with virtually any other organization, but certainly a lot of local Chambers of Commerce. And if you think about the local Chamber of Commerce, they're specialists in that local area, whether that be a local, like a just a local city, or perhaps a bigger, more regional chamber that might cover a whole metro area. Very rarely do those entities pursue interests outside of those areas. So when you think of the global chamber, it's almost easier to think of us as being kind of the opposite of every chamber of commerce, because we're entirely outbound. We help companies grow out of areas, stay rooted in that area for sure, but help them find business in other cities or states or even countries. And I think when you add it all up, that's really what we do best, is provide a variety of different resources from the Department of Commerce at the federal level all the way down to the local businessman level. And it's just a blast. And as you said, it's almost, in a lot of ways, it's just as easy to do business in Greece as it is across town sometimes, with technology being what it is now. So it's fun to explore that together.
Well, I think the services that are offered and provided, the connectivity, the network that's built by the Global Chamber, is something that we can't ignore. And that if anybody has had the opportunity to say, you know, I'd like to do work overseas, and I would actually even argue, maybe not overseas, maybe you're in Cincinnati and you want to do work in New Mexico. Well, the Global Chamber would be a benefit for that as well. Is that right?
For sure, yeah, without a doubt. And a lot of this started out of the school, the Thunderbird School of Global Management in Phoenix, where their alumni are very involved with this. And they're just an incredible resource for the Global Chamber. That's where our headquarters is still to this day, 6 years later. And it's been a longstanding partnership of building a global network to help one another out.
Well, when you talk about networking, you've got a scenario where, you know, oftentimes the success of your business has a lot to do with how good you provide a product and a service. And other times, have you made people aware of what you have with your product and service? And other times, it's who you're connected to. Do you have the right strategic partners? Do you have the right network? Are you in the right circles to help push and navigate your company? What I can say for micro and boutique business owners, very small business owners, startup founders, building a network could mean the difference between existing and not existing, and knowing where to go, having people that's been there and done that and you can pose a question to, becomes a benefit. So even if you've been in business, let's say 18 years, and you've been really solid at it, but you've gotten wind that your product would do really well in Canada, well, going to the Global Chamber would help you understand how to do business in Canada, because essentially you might feel like, and in many cases, literally be starting over as a novice business owner, because you're now dealing in another country with different laws and different cultures. Is that right?
Well, it is. And when you think of a big country like Canada, which is so diverse, from Vancouver over to the eastern side where Montreal is and Toronto, you almost need to think of it even more specifically than that and look at some of the local cities. Brazil is another example where we have a strong presence in Brazil, but there are different states and cities that we've all heard of in Brazil, and it makes sense to try to tackle a few of those at once if you have the right product to do that. And sometimes you got to figure that stuff out, don't you? That's part of the process,
you do.
Too.
It's all a part of the journey. And, you know, you're looking at what I call, you know, research and development. I know that that's a very real term that's used in spaces like manufacturing and textiles, technology even. But that research and development exists even if you're a restaurant owner, or if you make, you know, widgets, or if you're a catering company, is that, you know, you're trying things out and you don't know what's going to come from that. So you're trying to learn as you go, and that trial and error, in some instances, can be costly, but there is an experience that comes with that, and that's what you're investing in. I would submit that the Global Chamber help minimizes that from the realm of what do I do in this country, or what do I do on the other side of the United States, or what do I do in this space that I'm now being pushed in based on industry standards, but I don't have a lot of experience in it. The Global Chamber can help in those ways.
Yeah, another example is when you think of it like that is, you know, how can we get there faster with less risk? And we say that a lot, but with that comes the expertise in the local areas. You and I have talked about the Philippines before. When we add our resources together, you got Ben there, we've got a guy named Colin there in Manila. When we hook the two of them up together, you're talking about two people with powerful networks that I'd be hard-pressed to find any business they couldn't find success with, because they know so many people that want to help, and they can help provide the balance and the structure and some of the you know, the stuff that someone might be unfamiliar with, the marketing and the, just the what's the culture like there is a big part of it too. So what we're able to do is help people really tap into the local area and understand the business dynamics of that area. And we've had fun. A lot of these countries, you know, Doctor, I've had to look up on a map, you know, where exactly is Bangladesh again or Ghana? You know, and it's fun to be able to say, gosh, you're talking through a computer here to a lady in Ghana, and she's as well connected as anybody I know in any other city on earth. And by golly, when we can hook up to Denver Airport because they're exploring routes to Africa with someone like Ruby in Ghana, that's a powerful connection right there. So
it
we really take a lot of pride in that because it works.
Well, it does work, and partly is because the network extends to allow information to change, to travel faster, to travel better. When you're a business owner, that's essentially what you're looking for, is the ability to say, what do I know? How do I use what I know? Can I leverage it in order to benefit my business? And your network allows for that to happen, but you have to have what many would consider to be a trusted network. And so once again, for the purposes of our listeners, how many countries are you all servicing inside the Global Chamber?
Yeah, over 100. And it's hard to keep track sometimes, but I don't know that I could name 100 countries. Could you? You know, just off the top of our head, we could probably come up with a couple dozen or a few dozen maybe, but
hey, people can't name 50. People can't name 50 states, let alone 100 countries.
Yeah, exactly. So it's hard to know, but we haven't found a client yet that we weren't able to help. And that includes, you know, kind of places like Uzbekistan. We were on a conversation with them recently. You know, when you're talking to people in Ukraine that are in the middle of this war right now, but they're still trying to provide for their family and run a business, and who do they know that can help? It really shows that there are no bounds to this Global Chamber idea. And that's really the fun of it, is making things. I'm just a guy that likes to make things happen. And when we meet Ivan, our special guest today, who will be on in a few minutes, you'll see that there's a reason he's on our board here in Cincinnati with the Global Chamber, and he's made an international name for himself with his diversity efforts and his recruiting procedures. And stuff. Kind of the way that he approaches business is really a cool combination between you. I'm going to have a lot of fun doing this, but by golly, we're going to make some things happen and get some stuff done too. And he's garnered a lot of respect with leadership here in Cincinnati with that approach.
Well, you know what? You talk about that. You know, you mentioned, you know, Ukraine, for an example, and we all understand,
yeah,
know and recognize, you know, what's happening there. I mean, recently, just last week, I was in Washington, D.C., and was down by the White House, and there was a massive, massive parade going on in support of Ukraine. And so you think about what's happening there, but, you know, not only was the war detrimental to commerce, but so are the relations in China, and so are, you know, even the heat wave that happened in China, where they had to shut down cities, you know, for days. Well,
yeah,
it might sound like we're not talking about things that are important to us now, but they are, because if you have supply chain, let's call yourself an apparel company, and you need thread out of those regions, or you need product from out of those regions, well, that's now going to be halted. And therefore, you need a secondary provider or a tertiary provider that allows your company to still operate, or maybe your costs now have to double because of how you have to divert your supply chain. Well, understanding global realities has everything to do with your business, especially if you offer a product. How many times, Larry, have you run into businesses that, you know, they don't really have an answer for what just happened to them, and you have to come up with solutions, and those solutions aren't just here in their region, their solutions are elsewhere to help them either stay afloat or make sure that they don't collapse?
Yeah, and from my point of view, it really just starts with a conversation. So we kind of approach it like that. Say, all right, well, let's have a conversation about that. Let's just talk about it. And who can we include in that discussion that's going to be able to add some value to the discussion? So when we pull in people from other countries that are, you know, maybe have a front row seat to that impact, let's say, or they're right in the zone where, you know, whatever it might be is going on. But it also helps to get some perspective from, if we're trying to help the person in Ukraine, let's say, sometimes it helps to get people outside of Ukraine throughout Europe. Who are some of their key clients and what countries do they do business with? And that network in Europe is very strong too, certainly from London down to Spain and then in the Eastern Europe there, including Moscow for that matter. So Yeah, it's fascinating when you can include people that have that international kind of perspective to help with the discussion, to try to understand not only what's going on, but where you want to go with the company and what the options are, whether it's provide a new supplier. You mentioned the supply chain thing. You know, the issue almost doesn't matter. Once we get the right people together, it can be, it can be quite a journey of discussion there.
Well, you know, I want to bring in some of my own experience with working overseas, as sometimes I think people believe that the complexity of it just isn't something that they should even waste their time with. They would have to divert too many resources. But, you know, just as an example with our operations, it really is as simple as, you know, let's call it concepts. So in my line of work, I don't have a product. My words, our wisdom, our guidance, our teaching, how we go about fixing a business, that's the product there. So it's all intellectual property. And out of our intellectual property, there are other countries that are seeking how to do business like we do in the United States of America. And they are not traditionally trained, even culturally trained, in all the ways that we are, because it's just our way of life. But to them, it might be revolutionary. And in that instance, I get solicited to say, Doc, how do you guys go about doing this? Or how do you go about doing that? One of my first companies overseas was a tech company that also, it was really a sports tech company. And they had done a really good job with cricket. They had done a really good job with soccer. And they were out of Australia. And they said, but we've been told all around the world that if we don't have a sport from the United States inside of our technology, that our technology really hasn't been validated. And I found that to be a very unique request, considering that even if their product was sound, they still needed the mark of approval from the United States of America. And so they trekked all the way to the U.S., found us, and said, hey, Doc, we need your help. And so we worked with them for nearly a year, modifying their technology and then bringing on our network and integrating that into the connectivity of their technology. Well, the point of me bringing that the story up is that I didn't have to alter my operation to help that Australian entity. I didn't have to fly to Australia to even do the work. And so just to show you how long ago this was, we weren't even using Zoom at the time. We used Skype to start that. And so you've got a scenario where I'm doing business through Skype to help, you know, an entity in Australia with their process, with their integrations, and with that one relationship spawned other relationships out of Australia. And so hopefully my listeners are understanding that it doesn't take, you know, a great deal of finances or an alteration of your operation where you don't recognize it anymore in order to participate. Do you have any examples of any of your members of the Global Chamber that, you know, said, I'm not sure, or what the hey, I'll join, and then you've been able to connect them to someone else that they thought, well, heck, this was easier than I anticipated, or I gained so much from even having the conversation that I look at my business differently?
There are, but first, what was the sport that you included in the app?
So we put baseball into it.
I love it. It's as American as it gets.
Yep, and that was actually the point.
Yeah, isn't it? Good point. Mm-hmm. Gosh, that's awesome. Yeah, we're working with a company now called Waginate, and they have a silent generator that uses a battery that recharges itself while it works. So it kind of sounds crazy, but when power goes out in your house, they found the average power outage lasts about 4 hours. And so these guys came up with this idea that said, if we could have a generator, the first draft was, if we could have a generator that lasts 4 hours, that is portable, we could take it anywhere and you could roll it, you know, kind of like a piece of luggage or something, and it would be able to power a house, or at least the necessary components of a house, whatever that might be, right? Air conditioning, or maybe your refrigerator and freezer, and you think of a little bit of power to power up some appliances or something. You know, what would it take to have something like that? And that's where they came up with this idea, and they found a big, when they started talking to people that they knew and throwing some stuff out there, they found a hit in Canada for whatever reason, northern Canada, a couple hours north of Detroit. And here's an example of they didn't market to Canada, but they found some mutual interest in Canada. They wouldn't have found that without some of the key connections that were made available to them through, again, this trust network that we have. So a lot of it comes down to awareness when you have a product and you kind of have to throw it out there. And it's fun to think, oh, I'd love to sell my thing in Greece or Canada or wherever. But sometimes when we can raise just the awareness about a product or a resource or whatever it is that we're selling, the service, sometimes you find that there's an audience in places that you didn't expect it. And sometimes you'll hear bands come out with an album and all of a sudden it sells a lot of, you know, they get a lot of sales in Japan, let's just say. So then they have to go to Japan and do some concerts in Japan because that's where their audience is. And sometimes you have to do a little work to find where the right audience is, because it's not always where you think it is.
Well, it may not be. And that's a part of, once again, you know, I use this term a lot, but that's a part of the journey. That's a part of the evolution of your business and how you view that business and what places and spaces can you play in. Sometimes these things come along and, you know, you might not have considered them, but if you've built the infrastructure of your business appropriately, you can take advantage of them. And if it's on your mind, then you understand how to start building the structure of your business, maybe in a different way that allows you to participate in a way that you haven't seen before.
I think I missed that last part, Doctor. Could you repeat the last
part? Yeah, that if you build the infrastructure of your business with a global intent in mind, now more opportunity will show up to you because you went ahead and said, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to make myself available for that.
Yeah, don't you think? Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
A lot of good stuff happens with that approach for sure. And that's the fun of it. I love how you call it a journey.
Yeah, which it is. And that journey never stops from there. And talking about journeys, let's go ahead and bring in Ivan Demo. And he's our caller in today. He's our special guest. And so we want to make sure that he's there. Mr. Ivan, are you there?
I sure am, Dr. Baker. How are you? Happy Wednesday.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for joining us. And obviously, you know Larry.
I sure do. Larry, how are you? Long time no talk.
I'm great. Thanks for being on here, Ivan. We're excited to continue our discussion with you.
And so, Ivan, you know, as we talk here on Doctor's Orders, before I get into anything, you have to pronounce your last name for me so I don't butcher it.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Baker, it's pronounced exactly how it looks.
Demostine.
That's my joke. That's my joke. Yeah, it's Demostine, but pronounced in French. Demostine. But Demostine will work.
Well, see, I actually figured that there was some type of cultural accent to that, and I wasn't going to pretend to know, but I'm glad you straightened me out on that. And for all my listeners out there, you know, we've got Mr. Ivan here. He's the CEO of Hamilton Demo, which actually I want him to tell you all about Hamilton Demo. So really, Ivan, this is your chance to tell the listeners about your company, and then we're going to talk a little bit about your journey as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, so Dr. Baker, I consider myself a sales guy. I've been in sales for over 30 years. And about 18, 19 years ago, I was hired by Career Builder, and I've been in the human capital space ever since. And through my journey, just started making a lot of connections, learning a lot, not only about Fortune 500 companies and everything that they were entrenched with technology, compliance, et cetera. About 5 years ago, I decided to go out on my own. So Hamilton Demo provides recruitment, executive search, professional placement, and we also do project work around human capital as well for any hiring and recruiting needs.
Fantastic. And from what I understand, you're also on the Global Chamber Board here in Cincinnati as well.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've been part of the past 2 years. A phenomenal organization. Got to meet Larry there, and yeah, I've truly. If no one's ever experienced it, the networking opportunities there are phenomenal. So yeah, proud to be part of the Global Chamber.
So, you know, with you being a business owner, and I'm going to call you a relatively new business owner because you got some people that own businesses for 30 and 40 years, or maybe they've inherited legacy businesses. So now it's been in their line for, you know, 80 years, 100 years. But when you're under that 10-year mark, you're doing a lot of things to ramp that business, make sure that other people know that you exist. Tell me, what was it about, and I'm going to have a twofold question here, but I want to start with one for the sake of the theme, is what was about Global Affairs that attracted you to it based on your work with Human Capital?
Yeah, Dr. Baker, I don't think I heard you went out a little bit on me. You asked me, what was it about Global Affairs?
Yeah, what was it about Global Affairs that attracted you to say, you know what, I want to be a part of the Global Chamber. I want to look at my my work in a more global perspective, especially being what I'm considering to be relatively new starting out based on those previous qualifiers. But what attracted you to do global work?
Yeah, so actually when I started my human capital work with CareerBuilder, then with Monster, the Fortune 500 companies I was working with had international exposure. So you had very recognizable companies based in the U.S. that would use and leverage what they learned and what was successful here in the United States to attract talent in other areas of the world. You know, a lot of people take for granted that just because we recruit a certain way here, that that's how it is all over the world. It really isn't. For instance, when you go to the UK, they have job centers there where the job centers really are where people go to identify opportunities that match their skill sets. You know, we use job boards extensively here. They don't quite use them the same way in other places. Applicant tracking systems are a big part of what American companies do. But America's influence is definitely there wherever you go around the world. So that really intrigued me because I have a passion for diversity as well. And diversity isn't just something here in the United States. It's global. And that means it takes on a different meaning in anywhere you go, any country you go around the world as well. So when the Global Chamber was introduced to me, I got to tell you, Dr. Baker, and I've shared this with Larry, I thought it was just going to be another chamber meeting. I thought this was just like any other local, regional, state chamber that we've all been part of. And to my surprise, the energy and the desire to make connections and the growth opportunities there really just, you know, resonated with me right away.
You know, I want to look at that a little bit because not only did you become a member or just engage and go to a few programs, but you actually became a board member. So, Larry, I push this question over to you, is that... Yeah. Anytime that you're looking at your board and you're looking at the different regional chapters, talk to us a little bit about the diversity of knowledge and experience that you're able to collect, considering that we just sat here and heard Ivan talk about hiring practices and behaviors in the UK in comparison to what we're dealing with here in the United States. What luxury is that to have that type of diversity of expertise on your board?
Yeah, isn't that interesting to think about how the differences in not just culture but work kind of standards are? How do people approach getting a job, and how that varies from country to country? And there's really no way to know that without that kind of insight. And so, to give you an example, we have a guy on our board who he grew up in Ohio, but now he lives in Washington D.C. and he's kind of a German specialist. So his specialty is bringing and brokering business between Germany and Ohio. And oddly enough, he lives in Washington, D.C., and he travels a lot and whatever, but because his business is so international, he does a lot by phone and by video call, et cetera. So that's an example of a board member that brings great insight to European business. There's another guy that comes to mind who's in Barcelona, and he runs a chemical business with different offices. He has offices in several different countries, the Netherlands, U.K., Australia, and somewhere in Africa even. And I think that there's something that happens when you surround yourself, whether it's on a board or in a business discussion meeting of some sort, but when you have people like that that have that type of insight to, in this case, maybe world markets or perhaps they can drill down with specifics in a certain country or even a city like London. When you can get people that have that kind of insight, I think the whole conversation gets elevated and there's kind of this energy that gets created around, you know, the excitement of doing business in that country and what it's really like. And I think the key is this business owner can start to see and envision themselves doing business in that particular country or that city because of the resources, the help that's available to them. And once they can see themselves doing business there, that's really the hurdle we're trying to overcome, because prior to that, they just can't. They don't know how to do it or something. And I'm sure we've all seen examples of that. But again, that's that journey that you kind of talk about that says, how do we make that happen? Well, it's a journey, and it starts with the discussion. And then before they know it, they've got everything they need to make a, you know, to start making sales.
Makes sense. And I'm going to break here for a moment before I bring you two guys back on. What's that?
I was going to ask you if I could say one thing, because I think Larry's being a little modest in everything that you said. Those are great things, but it's mind-blowing. I mean, really, you've never seen anything like it, where these diverse people with deep, diverse backgrounds and experiences from all over the world, they share their experiences with everyone else. They have these workshops. They have these networking events. They have these out after hour events, and they often frame it around sharing of knowledge. And these individuals, quite frankly, you know that they could sell their knowledge for a lot of money, but they're sharing and exchanging and providing this information to those in the global chamber, which I just think is fascinating and part of the networking experience there. So sorry, Larry, I just had to put that in there.
Which is, you know, I definitely appreciate that. And I want to come back and talk about that just a little bit once we take our station break here. And once again, everyone, you're listening to Doctor's Orders. I am Dr. Baker. Today we have two guests. We have Larry Hart from the Global Chamber, and we have Ivan Demostein from Hamilton Demo. And we're talking about all things global, all things small business. If you want to join the dialogue, you can call in at 859-291-2255. And you can send a direct message at info@drbaker.us. And today's Worldwide Wednesday is brought to you by Pro Elite Training. That's Pro Elite Training. Learn how to train your muscle memory to increase rhythm, tempo, and pace. You can do that with NBA players, NFL players, MMA fighters, through the app itself, which you can find on your Google Play Store, or you can find at getproelite.com on your web browser. So once again, that is Pro Elite Training. Train with the best. Increase your muscle memory, rhythm, tempo, and timing with Pro Elite Training. So once again, gentlemen, as we talk about how you all navigated to the chamber, the importance of the global chamber, the importance of having a global mindset, we just talked about information sharing and how different expertise comes out of that, and how you're able to make your company grow based on that information sharing. You know, Ivan, I want to bring you back and kind of start out with, when you decided to transition over and you left your corporate or professional position and you jumped into business ownership, what were some of the hurdles or the obstacles that you ran into from the beginning? Because on our show, we know that unexpected things always happen in the world of business. Things can be tough. It is not a linear progression when you go to grow your business. And so anytime we can help another business owner, number one, recognize that they're not alone, but then number two, that there are legitimate ways of overcoming some of these realities. Are there any stories that you can share that really remind you of when you first started out that, you know, there were barriers, but then you were able to get past them?
Yeah, Dr. Baker, I'll just start off with the obvious. You know, I think every entrepreneur and every individual that sets out on his own or her own with a business idea to take out to the marketplace, you have to have a little bit of confidence. And I think there's a little bit of, hey, that won't happen to me kind of mentality, or I don't need that. I think that part of it, you need a little bit of that bravado. And I think I can honestly say that I had a little bit of that. Thank goodness it wasn't a detriment to me in the sense that I'm still here and getting ready to complete the 5 years. But who would have been able to predict the pandemic and the state that our planet was on? It's a whole new normal, whole new world. And quite literally, commerce, as we knew it, came to a stop. It's still fresh in our memories. But from a business owner who has invested a lot, his family has invested a lot of and sacrificed a lot also to support the father and husband of the family. No one foresaw a pandemic. So the planning stages that you need to have, the business plan, formulating any partnership agreements in case something happens, I think is something that is probably some of the best advice I could give anyone, and probably the best advice that I got that maybe didn't adhere to 100%. But yeah, if they tell you that you need $100,000, maybe you should make sure you've got 150 or 200. If they tell you plan for 3 years, make sure you've got 5 years if you want to get to where you want to be, and just be able to formulate a plan for the unknown, because you're going to find out. You're going to find out a lot of things that you thought you were prepared for or that you anticipated that came out of the woodworks.
You know, thanks so much for that, especially from the new business owner standpoint. I would also make the argument that even businesses that's been around for a while that's looking to create a new department, make a shift in their operation, launch a new product, any of that, you're dealing with the exact same reality. I actually worked with a patient earlier today, deep in Kentucky, that has been in business 10 years and they're looking to pivot some, and they feel like a novice business owner all again because of this new wave of business. And so talking about having the confidence is really important, but that confidence comes from knowing what you're doing. You know, there's something that, we talked about a lot when I was a ball player, which is if you put the time in, you did the practice, and you harnessed your skill set, you can be confident at that time. At that time frame. And whereas for a business owner, sometimes we're doing things and we're not quite sure how good we're going to be at it. And maybe it's not how good we are, but how we think people will respond to it. Larry, I want to push this question to you. Do you have any idea or a sense of like the average company that comes to the Global Chamber? Are these new businesses? Are they well established? Are they large entities? Are they a mixture? What do you personally see? So I'm not asking you to give me the metrics that the Global Chamber has taken over time, but just kind of what's your sense of what do you typically see?
You know, there really is no typical is the thing. I can tell you, I've met people at the port of LA, and that when those ships, we've all seen those pictures of the ships that are stuck out at sea because they can't get into the port to unload their, the stuff that they're carrying over from Asia. So you have big companies like that, big banks, national law firms. So there is a presence. You know, one of my favorite companies is KAO Brands, which many of us in Cincinnati are familiar with. They're kind of like a Procter & Gamble, but they're a big conglomerate based in Japan that has a big presence here in Cincinnati. So it's really a combination of some of the biggest companies on earth that are members, as well as, gosh, there are new companies that are joining with new products. You know, there's a guy in Mexico that's come up with new tequila, his own type of tequila, which is a new product, and he's just looking to help get it distributed, and he wants to tackle America, of course. So I think that you'll find companies large and small and broad and specific all across the board, and it sounds cliche to say there's a fit here for anybody, but there really is if that person is interested in exploring markets around the world.
Well, I think in that instance is that, and I'm using your word now, Ivan, is that diversity, is that you're learning from all of it and you're gaining access from all of it, and you can use it to leverage wherever you are as a business owner. And when we talk about experience, I personally harp on this. It seems like my oldest daughter never really listens to this, and neither does my family members, but I know I'm right in this. is that I don't have to have my own experiences all the time. Sometimes I can look at someone else, see what they've done and said, okay, what did they learn from that? And is there something that I can learn from that? I don't have to touch the hot stove if everyone is in agreement that that stove is hot. And so in business, it actually will expedite your process. It will minimize your risk. It will either save or make you money in the event that you can take these other experiences and essentially make them your own. And so with the Global Chamber, I can just imagine if you're fully integrated into what the chamber is doing, you're going to the classes, you're going to webinars, you're going to meet and greets, you're taking advantage of all the services and the meetings, that your experience level will increase because there's so much diversity out there. You know, Ivan, as you're doing work now, one thing that I'm curious about is you've done your work in human capital. How has people changed over the years when it comes to understanding the workplace? You know, is it so much that the worker has changed? Has the workplace changed? Is the workplace antiquated? You know, give me some hints and some tips on where we are as a society, especially when it comes to work.
Oh, Dr. Baker, phenomenal question. If you don't mind, I would like to say something on what you just shared. What would the world be like if we listened to those with more wisdom and experience? Life would be too easy, right?
And I like too easy. I personally like too easy.
Yeah, it's nuts. I think the big hurdle and the big obstacle there for most people, whether it's timing or just a general sense, is that there's not enough trust, right? They want to experience it themselves. Like if you tell them go left, that's the best path. Well, they'll say, hey, I feel like going right, so I'm going right. Knowing that the person just told you, if you go right, it's probably not going to be a good idea. But you got to experience it yourself. So I often wonder, you know, if we had that level of trust with starting with our parents to those that are our mentors and those around us with the knowledge and wisdom to take all of it on, and you know, life would be different for all of us. But to your point, I got to tell you, when I first started in the workplace, it was a different world. This was in the early 90s. And then when I started working in human capital in 2004, 2005, you know, I found that relationships were really king. But within those relationships, sometimes you'd have to hear some things that you didn't want to hear. And at the time, candidates were just starting to be a little bit different than what had traditionally been ideal candidates. As a matter of fact, people didn't really seek out jobs unless something bad happened to them, or they had to move, or there was some external force causing them to search for a different job, like whether they got laid off or maybe their wife wanted to move back to their hometown, or, you know, the company was going out of business. If it wasn't for that, for the most part, especially your professionals, they would stay on for that company for 10, 15, 20, 20 years more until they retired. And I remember a story with one of the SVPs of HR that I became very close with. He told me that he was frustrated with our service because there had been instances where we gave him resumes where the candidates didn't have at least 5 years at any of the companies that he was with. And that was his standard that he wanted us to adhere to. So I think that the person at the time maybe had 3 or 4 jobs and never stayed at one of those jobs for more than 5 years. That same SVP of HR in this Fortune 500 organization came back to me in less than 5 years and told me that to forget everything he told me. And he was now looking at the same resumes in a different way, where candidates who had several jobs over the span of 5 to 10 years, he was looking at their resumes in a way that showed career progression. So those would be the big things out of that story. Number one, people don't take on jobs to stay there forever. It's not a lifelong journey anymore. And number two, candidates now really look at the opportunities to move within organizations as an opportunity to advance their career and advance their station within their career as well. And that's something that you never saw before. The mentality of waiting till it was your turn is, quite frankly, not a rule anymore. If someone feels that they're ready, that they can do more and that they deserve more, I'll tell you, by Monday morning, they're heading to work and their plan is to have lunch and sit in front of their computer and log into whatever job board they can find and search for opportunities that they match well with. And that's another thing too that not a lot of people know, that there's research out there that shows that people seek out and look for jobs more frequently at lunchtime on Mondays during work, which I always found fascinating.
Which it is.
That's what I say.
I've got twofold questions on that. One, and I'll let you answer this one before I follow it up, but is that a trend that you find that's only existing here in the U.S., or is that being found in other regions of the world that you know about?
Yeah, for the most part, that's a U.S. thing. For the most part, that's a U.S. thing. I will say that the trend that we're experiencing here has really been part of other cultures for some time. And I'll call it more of a work-life balance. I mean, you hear about siestas, you hear about countries providing opportunities for maternity leave to male spouses. All those things have been in place for years, right? Organizations and companies aren't able to just put an employee on plan and let them go for any reason. So those types of things have been in place in Europe and other parts of the world for a long time.
Mentioned a few things that I think are really important for a business owner to recognize, and this has nothing to do with if you're thinking about global work or not, but if you're hiring, you've got 2, 3, 4 or more employees, or you got 50 to 100 employees, you have to think about, well, what's our career path inside of our company? Is there a trajectory? Am I pushing them? You know, there's a concept, actually there's 4 constructs inside of transformational leadership, which is one of my specialties out of my PhD. But the 4 constructs, one is inspired motivation, then you have idealized influence, you have individual consideration, and you have intellectual stimulation. Well, on the intellectual stimulation portion is that when you are changing jobs or you're changing positions, you're actually seeking for the stimulation of whether it's your passion or whether it's the mental portion of it to say, is this being fed? And it fosters the attitude of I'm outgrowing you or I'm outgrowing the position, so therefore it's causing me to leave. If any of you are dealing with turnover in your companies, you have to look at what is the opportunity, or is there chances for advancement? Are you pushing your employees to be the best versions of themselves? Are they continuously learning? And are those skills adaptable to things that they are connected to based on their passion and their skill set? And so that, once again, is not an international phenomenon. That's just a work phenomenon that we have to be mindful of. And as you are navigating through the human capital space, you know, how much, when we start talking about information sharing and diversity of thought, how much of that goes on? And Larry, you can chime in too if you would like. But how much does that go on within the formal programming of the chamber, or does it go along through networking opportunities, or is it kind of secret sauce stuff that even though people are information sharing, they're not quite giving away the farm? Where does this type of dialogue fit when companies come together and say, I'm having difficulty with turnover, or I need to hire better people, or need a pipeline of hiring people? Once again, is that a formal program that people can find in the chamber? Or is that more just coming out of networking, or specifically hiring Hamilton Demo? And that's for both of you.
Yeah, go ahead, Ivan.
Yeah, well, Dr. Baker, I love everything you said. I'll tell you, there's some realities out there. There's always going to be turnover. You're never going to not have any turnover, but development is the key. Human nature, you want to know where you're going, right? You can walk through the desert, and you can walk a long time as long as you know where your destination is. And you having development and the continued development of your workforce, I believe, is key. I don't think there's anyone that would really argue against that. And from what I've seen, the chamber does understand that, and they're trying to provide that development, albeit not in a non-organizational way, in the sense that they come as a community and share information and knowledge. But they definitely have an understanding of that, and the desire to provide more information in terms of connecting Hamilton Demo and other organizations in my space to those companies is definitely there, which I'm truly grateful for. So to your question, 100% the chamber tries to support an environment where that is easily accessible. And I do think some organizations are going to be able to do it themselves, but there are going to be equally as many organizations that are going to struggle with doing that. And they're going to seek companies like myself and others to help them with that. And I hope that for their sake, they embrace that and go after that sooner than later, because the sooner they do it, the sooner they can have that workforce that is skilled, upskilled, developed to support any and all future growth, rather than having to worry about replacing roles and people today, tomorrow, and in the future, because it's not going to get easier. And last little tidbit I'll say, development is very important. Because if you want to retain your workforce, you need to look to the future and keep them there. Have them know what they're going to be there for, and that development is so key to that retention. Because tomorrow or 5 years from now, when you have to replace a person, you're fighting for the same person that everybody else is trying to get. Don't fool yourself in thinking because you're an accounting firm and you need an accountant that you're competing with other accountants. No, you're competing with just about every other business out there. Don't think that because you are an international company and you need a salesperson, you're competing with other companies in your industry that are your size. That's not true. You're dealing with every other organization, big or small, that feels that they have something to offer a salesperson. And it goes for just about everything. So the sooner that you're able to embrace that and provide a foundation for that growth and development to your workforce, the better off you'll be. The sooner you come to me, the sooner you come to other organizations in our space, the sooner we can help.
Understood. You know, with our limited time here, we have a couple more things that we have to get off our plate. But first and foremost, if someone needed human capital help, essentially meaning they need to hire, they need better strategy, they need to build out a pipeline, they need strategic partnership, any of that, how do they find you and how do they engage?
Well, thanks a lot, Dr. Baker. Your listeners can go to our website, and that's www.hamiltondemo.com. Again, www.hamiltondemo.com. And you can also call me directly. I love to get phone calls. I have my phone number on the site, but your listeners can find it on LinkedIn, Facebook as well. And it is 513-257-9683, 513-257-9683. And Dr. Baker, if you end up at your next dinner party and someone mentions this interview and they want my number, feel free to give them my number yourself. Should they ask you, not a problem. I look
Absolutely.
Forward to welcome any phone calls.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Certainly will. And then Larry, if someone
Dr.
wants
Baker,
to contact, if someone wants to contact the chamber, Larry, how can they do that?
Thank you very much. Yeah, the easiest way is globalchamber.org is the website, and my email is larry@globalchamber.org. So globalchamber.org, lots of information on there. See, so many people are curious about it. I really try to use the website as the first kind of touch point so they can kind of explore it a little bit and see if there's anything in there that sounds interesting. And then we usually follow that up with an email and a phone call to kind of continue the discussion. But these discussions are so helpful for people because they can just hopefully kind of can understand that maybe the most important thing is if they don't know how to do something, it's okay to reach out to people that know how to do that stuff and ask for help, because that's really in the end what we're trying to do is help people get to where they're trying to go.
Well, you talk about, you know, doing things you don't know how to do. Now, you know, Ivan, I have an operation in the Philippines. We have a business hospital there stationed in Manila. We're working on another location in Singapore. Dr. Ramon Segamizundo will be my regional director over there. He's charged with building out my location there. But if someone wanted to have a presence in another country, anywhere else, does your firm assist with that type of recruiting and that type of placement?
Yes, 100%. And I will say, we can do a lot of things in a lot of places. We can't do it everywhere, but Singapore and Manila are two of the locations I can assist with. But really, we would have a discovery and make sure that we can help them. Hamilton Demo has a huge network of partners that we collaborate and work with. So it brings the world smaller to us. So chances are pretty high that we're going to be able to help you. So yeah, it would be our pleasure.
All right. And then before we have to sign off, any quick tips, anything that we can send the listeners away with as it relates to one or two best practices when it comes to looking at their human capital, and we need about 30 seconds on that.
Yeah, looking, so for companies, you know, I would say your entire hiring process from rec to hire is, don't take it for granted. I see a lot of small and medium-sized companies that struggle with the talent attraction, in the sense that they've got a great product, they've got a great company with great offerings, and they wonder why people aren't knocking down their door to apply and to work there. So look at that. You know, we talked about diversity. There's an old saying, don't keep fishing in the same pond expecting to catch a different fish, right? If you keep on going to the same well, going to the same pond, and you're not getting the results that you want, try to diversify your approach, expand your network.
So we got a scenario where we have an expansion and we have diversity. So those are, you know, tips, and have a plan for it are the tips that we're going to leave all the listeners with today. Once again, we've had Ivan Demostein from Hamilton Demo, Larry Hart from the Global Chamber. I'm Dr. Baker. This has been Doctor's Orders. See you on Trending Thursdays tomorrow. See you, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for Doctor's Orders. You can contact Dr. Baker by phone at 1-855-249-4677, by email at info@drbaker.us, You can learn more on our website at www.drbaker.us. Be sure to tune in every Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. right here on 1320 AM, 103.9 FM, and on www.1320thevoice.com.